Shoo Radio. That's right, your favorite drive time terrestrial radio call-in show with big personalities and bigger takes is back on WSHZ. I'm Ben from Stitchdown FM, and I'm proud to say we are once again the number one boot and shoe focused show on the airwaves. That's because of 1, our personal bombacity, and 2, all the amazing random callers whose calls we field completely randomly. We've got a great one for you here today, folks. A great one. Probably the best one ever. A simply huge episode. You guessed it. We're talking about the Stitchdown Patina Thunderdome, the world's preeminent shoe and boot aging contest with an insane prize list, including the grand prize of a trip to Japan and a pair of clinch boots. All just for wearing boots. Incredible. How does this Thunderdome work? Well, basically, you get a new pair of shoes or boots. Do not wear them before the contest starts. Submit your initial photos between October 1st and 5th, or November 1st and 5th in the late entry window, but do not wear them before then either, please. Don't wear them. Take some more photos at the beginning of every month until April. Share your photos and experiences with everyone else involved, and then hopefully win some fantastic boots, or maybe go to Japan. The Thunderdome was fantastic last year, just fantastic. But this year, it's even fantastic-er. There is now a work category in addition to the open category. That work category is for people who really put their boots through a beating, professionally or otherwise. Both the work and open categories will have a different set of judges highly attuned to said category and their own unique set of very fitting prizes. Whichever route you choose, you're gonna love it. How could you not love just, wearing something on your feet? So how do you win this Thunderdome? How do you do it? Well, I have thoughts, of course. It's my job to have thoughts, really big thoughts. But we're also a terrestrial radio call-in show, so we figured we'd take some calls and see what some of our extremely random listeners think. But before we do that, huge thanks to Division Road for sponsoring this episode. From August 25th on, you just need to pack up your car, turn on your terrestrial radio, and drive on down to their new HQ compound in Scottsville, Virginia, to be ensconced in Endless Boots, the best heritage menswear in the game, and 45 acres of absolutely beautiful land. Their launch shindig with tons of special guests and live music is on August 25th, and we'll be there for DR's White's Weekend, from September 30th to October 2nd. More details on Division Road Inc. and Stitchdown.com. See you there. All right, let's go to the switchboards and take our first caller. All right, first caller. Who do we got? It's Neil. Neil. Beretta? Barrere. Neil Barrere. From New York City. Great place. Went there once.
It's a good city.
I did something. Cheesecake Factory, I think. I didn't even get the cheesecake, the specialty. Neil, great to have you on. Thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
Man, we got lucky here. We're talking about how to win the Stitchdown Patina Thunderdome. And you just happened to be a judge last year. I believe you're going to be a judge this coming year for the open portion of the Stitchdown Patina Thunderdome. Let's get right into it. Neil, what did you learn from judging the inaugural Patina Thunderdome? What did it leave you with? What kind of impression?
First thing, probably the most important thing I learned, is that despite Jesse's tall height, he is hurricane proof.
He's hurricane proof. That was a moment.
Yeah. No, but really, it takes a good amount of work and discipline to get an attractive patina in 7 months. There were a lot of boots where I thought these are going to be surefire. They're going to place just based on the specs.
It's a tough game.
You could really see the work, the people that won and placed and got a prize. You could really see the work that they put in.
The love, the dedication. You got to put in the work. You got to believe.
Yep. The other thing I learned, there were lots of just fantastically worn and patinated boots in the competition. But it was very important that you were able to find a way to make your entry stand out to the judges. That goes a long way.
How do people do that? How do they do it? What's the secret?
Good photos. It's a visual medium. We're visual people.
That doesn't even necessarily mean beautiful photos with a $10,000 camera, right?
This is something you can do with your pocket computer. You don't need a fancy digital SLR with a fancy ass lens and a bunch of lights. You just need to have accurate photos. There were a lot of boots that I think would have made it, but didn't, because the photos were taken indoors. They're all orange and the photos were too dark. It didn't sell me.
You couldn't tell.
I could tell there was something there, but I couldn't see it.
Not a beauty contest, not a photo contest, but you got to be able to see it.
You're selling the judges on why they should pick your boots. You got to make a good pitch.
Is that a sports reference? I often do sports talk call-in shows.
Sales pitch.
Don't know anything about that.
Make them stand out. However it is, make them different. I can't tell you what that is, but if you put effort into it.
All right. Yeah. I'm calling into my own show now. A lot of the winning boots, and there were a whole lot of winners. You go see them on stitchdown.com right now. Get a sense. Their initial photos were not taken with any level of care, and they worked it, and they worked it, and by the end, it was there. Get a little better every month. Figure something out with the photos and the lighting, and spend a little time up front, and by that last month, you're going to know exactly what to do.
Well, there were also a few boots where it was very clear that before the final set of photos, they just took some time to clean, polish, condition their boots. It's kind of like washing and waxing your car before you sell it for the photos. It brings it all together. It makes them look their best.
Got to spray a little bit of that tire wet on the tires.
Are you going to pay top dollar for a used car that's all dusty and grimy looking in the photos?
Depends on the car. All right. What was your judging criteria going in? What were you thinking when we sat down for that interminable session over the course of 7 hours?
I was definitely the judge that was most focused on the essay.
You were.
Next time I'm going to place less emphasis on that.
Why is that?
It was a lot to go through, and I could just tell that it wasn't the right criteria to place a ton of weight on.
There it is. Thunderdome and learn. What surprised you most in a positive way? With the entries, with the boots, with the contestants, with the results?
I gotta say Nando's Red Wing Mocktoes that got third place. Those just kind of...
Oh, those were good.
Came out of left field, but they were just so classically patinaed. They were really well cared for. And they went against the grain of, like, I'm gonna have a super dramatic patina. That I think a lot of people were going for.
Not overcooked. Just there, man. Just sitting there on the plate. You want to slice right in, which you shouldn't do with your boots. Don't cut your boots with knives. They won't taste good, I think.
No.
I've never tried. They might. Maybe we should try this.
No.
Maybe not. Maybe not. What do you think is the key big question to winning the open side of the second patina Thunderdome? What do we do? What do they do? Other than take nice photos that represent their boots that impress you.
How about I talk a little bit more about the photos, though? You know, I want to put people in the right direction.
Hey, you're the caller.
It's true. The quality of digital cameras nowadays is incredible. You are photographing light. If you have good light, probably going to have a good photograph. And I think what a lot of people don't know is that if you take your photos indoors with the lights in your house, they are not going to render the colors correctly for the digital camera of your pocket computer or whatever the hell you're taking the photos with.
Lights are no good.
And what we ended up with were a lot of photos that were too dark and very orange. It was really hard to tell. So if you take a little bit of time to learn about white balance and digital photography and how to take a photo with accurate white balance, you're going to be in the right spot. The other thing, if you don't want to bother with all this and you perhaps live near a Standard and Strange Oakland or Standard and Strange New York, You can bring your boots to us and we will photograph them and we'll do it with someone who claims to be a professional and we'll do it for free.
Amazing.
As a service to you.
Free professionals. They sound like amateurs, but I've seen the work. I've been impressed.
I mean, we photographed the trophy. That was a pain in the ass to light.
Yeah, it came out pretty good.
Yeah, it came out great. It took a while, but we got it.
Steven, you will have to relinquish that trophy, but enjoy it while you can.
So basically, indoor light, bad. Try taking your photos outdoors.
Maybe a little bit of shade. cloudy day.
Shade is good. Cloudy days are great. Don't have direct sunlight. Don't take your photos at golden hour either.
Like when Golden Girls is on?
No, it's, you know, when the sun sets.
And yes.
Everything turns gold, you know?
Yep.
You know, I think Gold Coast. I think that's why they call it that.
Oh. Sun, yeah, it's always setting over there. Anything else? Like leathers you think hit? Patterns? Did people overthink that the first time through?
I think people did overthink it. There was a lot of natural Chrome Excel.
Including first place.
Yep. And I think that there's going to be a lot of people that try to do that again. But it's just going to make there more competition for best, like natural Chrome Excel or best veg or best light colored leather that's going to dark aggressively. That's my prediction.
Hey, you want people to stand out.
You
want to
stand out from the fold.
The mustard yellow Red Wings. The Paraboots.
The Paraboots.
Right? Like there were examples in there of something that nobody saw coming, especially with those Paraboots. And my Lord, what a transformation.
And those were great photos of those Paraboots too.
They're pretty good. They're pretty good.
The photos sold us.
Steven, you showed us what you had. I saw those things in person. Any final words of wisdom?
Don't try to bribe the judges.
Why not?
We won't hesitate to press charges again.
That did happen.
There's two people with a lifetime ban.
Yeah.
And a summons.
One of those wire transfers did go through, and you know it wasn't asked for.
Yeah, we'll take your money, and then we won't do anything.
Yeah, I can't do anything except summons you. That's how it goes. Neil from New York, thanks so much for calling in. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Ben.
All right. We got to move on to the next caller. Who do we got here? Carl. Carl Morawski. Wait a minute.
Hi, how are you? Good to talk to you.
You're like the YouTube guy.
Yeah, that's me.
Unbelievable.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, hey, long-time listener, first-time caller.
You talk on just phones. I can't even see you.
Well, back in my day, that's how we used to do it, Ben.
Bring it back, Carl. Bring it back.
Ma, get off the internet. I'm trying to use the phone.
Amazing that you just also happened to call in another Thunderdome judge to this particular show. We got a whole new category this time around. The Work Dome. The Patina Work Thunderdome. I've been told that some people are like, hey, I work. I have a job. How do you think I'm buying these boots? Like, hey, that's clever. But we're talking about work boots used for work. Completely different perspective. And you have a perspective on that perspective, Carl, don't you?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, I've been working with my hands since I was able to work, first as an auto mechanic and tow truck driver for 7 years. And ever since then, I've been in the electrical field. So that's what we do. Your boots are an essential part of your kit, just like your lineman pliers or a screwdriver or a hammer.
You do wear boots, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's important. Again, this whole thing, it's a little different. It's a little different in terms of what these boots go through that the contestants will be wearing. You've seen it all. What do you predict we're going to see from some of these competitors?
Well, you should see some of the boots that are on the ground. I mean, a lot of these guys, they wear them into the ground, you know? And so doing different types of tasks are going to yield different results. So if you're a welder, you're going to have all kinds of, you know, slag that's burning the top of your boot. Or if you're an iron worker, a lot of iron workers like wedge soles, and they end up getting almost rounded. They look almost like those Skecher shape-ups you remember from a while back. They're like, had the rounded sole to them just because they're walking on iron all day long. So depending on what line of work you're in, you're going to have really unique wear and tear on them. It's really cool to see.
So how do you judge all these people's Skecher shape-ups against each other? I mean, boots against each other.
You can't compare apples to oranges because they're all going to be a little bit different. So since one guy might be working and he'll be in contact with all kinds of nasty gas and oil all day, his are going to look super saturated and kind of gummy. And then you might get somebody who's working with drywall, and like drywall dust is murder. It just dries out your skin. It dries out leather, and his might be all cracked. So I think you're going to see the widest variety of wear that you've ever seen with these kind of guys. And girls.
Something that might be helpful. We're going to be asking everybody in the Thunderdome, especially in the work side, what did you do in these boots? And we're probably going to hear some tales, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you were giving advice to the competitors, how would you tell them to explain what they did to help you, Karl Murawski, understand what those boots went through? What's the crispest way to communicate the life of those boots for 6 months?
Ooh, I'm not 100% sure I understand the question.
I'm going to say, what'd you do in those boots? And they're going to tell us.
So if I was looking back, I'm thinking, well, the boots will tell the story of the person and what they did, most likely. But also, I mean, aside from like honest wear and tear, what you want to see is somebody who actually takes care of their footwear. So it's like your tools, you know, they are a part of your toolkit. Somebody who takes the time to clean them and to condition them and to actually maintain them rather than just thrashing on them, because anybody could drive around and, you know, tow them behind the van on the way to the job. But it's nice to see somebody who actually has a little bit of passion for these things and wants to maintain their investment. So it's not just hardcore wear and tear. If the boots can tell a story about where they've been and what they've done without the person telling you, I think that's kind of the thing, is when you really see the character start to be brought out in what the person had done while wearing those boots.
I think that's exactly the kind of thing that we're looking for in terms of what was the life? What was the life of the boots? What was the life of you? How is that best expressed? I think sometimes it's through the boots and sometimes it's through, you know, let me tell you a little something about them. But you put those two together, pretty potent combination for the judges understanding what they're doing. Now, Carl, you are, as far as I know, you are a video. You look great on it. Any tips for capturing in photos what these boots have been through, especially on the work side? Are you just snapping a picture, you know, when you get home in the dark, or how do people best convey photographically what these boots have done?
Well, one of the coolest things about doing this and doing, and I'm just going to speak to construction because that's what I know the most about, is that it puts you in a lot of weird places. So you'll see guys who are high up on steel. You'll see guys, you know, like when we're roughing in a building and it's a tall building, you're standing on the edge of a concrete platform, you know. So you could take pictures in these places with your phone as long as it's safe. You can probably get some shots that nobody has ever seen before who hasn't done that type of work. So, you know, look, you're riding on a tractor while you're farming. Take a picture while you're doing that. Whatever you're doing in them, and I think that'll help tell the patina story. Because people will kind of document what they've been doing with them.
God, I love this. This is brilliant. There were zero tractor pictures last year. Suddenly is very upsetting to me. Also, you know, be careful, as Carl said. Everybody be careful.
Yeah. We don't need any OSHA violations, but yeah, that'd be cool.
But maybe push it a little bit. Push it, you know. It may be rewarded.
Walk right up to the edge and then back it off a little bit.
What about anything that you think that people should maybe avoid? Not necessarily how they wear their boots, because the spirit of the work Thunderdome is, and really the entire Thunderdome is just wear these things. What else? You mentioned the care. Is there anything else? Like, so not caring for your boots, probably not great. Anything else that you think might get people into a spot where you as a judge would say, I don't know about this one?
Well, there's something, you know, you want honest wear. So you don't want to see something where it's like, there's no way that somebody did this in 6 months. I mean, there have been times where I've pushed a pair of boots too long and I had the steel toes poking through the leather. I mean, that takes a long time to do, even if you are kind of kneeling down all the time or dragging your toe or something. So honest wear, not really pushing it. And there's, you could tell the difference. You could tell when somebody has abused them versus honest to goodness wear. I think there'll be a difference. I mean, even if you're working 12 hours a day in really harsh conditions, but that's where knowing the backstory, I think, will help. Because if you're a finished carpenter and you're putting in trim all day, then your wear is going to look a lot different than somebody who is, I don't know, working at a chemical plant. So I think the bottom line, use them, but don't abuse them. And just, you know, maintenance, try to take care of them, try to, you know, make them look good. And remember that we love these things, so it's not just about trying to beat the hell out of them.
Use them, don't abuse them. It's got a nice ring to it. Gonna get that tattooed on my boots. Any final words of wisdom, Carl?
Have fun. Be safe. We'll see you in the end.
All right, Carl, one more. I gotta get this out before we leave you. Are the Padres the pods? Are they going to win the series this year or what?
Yeah, I think they have a good chance of getting that tournament thing.
The Super Cup? The Super Cup. They might pull it off.
We'll see. They got a strong defense. Feeling pretty good about that new coach they got there. I don't know a thing about sports, man.
What are you doing calling in this show? Get the hell out of here. All right, Carl Murkowski. All right, everybody. Yeah, yeah. All right, but seriously, Carl, we love you. Thank you so much for being involved in this thing, for calling into this show completely out of the blue. Can't wait to just take this journey with you, judge the hell out of these things come April. Appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, it's an honor, Ben. Thank you, man.
All right, Carl Murkowski. Next caller, Wyatt Gilmore of Grant Stone. Wyatt, thanks so much for the call.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for allowing me to call in and actually talk to you. This is pretty exciting.
Yes, you broke through the lines. Phones have been ringing off the hook back in the production booth. Wyatt, just so happens, as a caller, that you were a judge of the inaugural Patina Thunderdome. What did you learn from judging that first Thunderdome? What'd you come away with?
Honestly, that's a tough one because I want to go somewhere like with the products and how people wore the boots and everything else. And I think what I was like really surprised with was the variety of patterns. Like there were a lot of different type of like lace-up boots and these patterns I've never even seen before. Or, you know, maybe you see like a variation of them, but there was a lot of like 2-3 pair, like one-offs. A couple people were like making their own boots. So
almost 20 people made their own boots, which was crazy.
That was a lot, you know, and I was kind of thinking like we'd be looking at a ton of Red Wing, Viber, kind of natural Chrome XL, just kind of a ton of those. And that really wasn't the case. I mean, obviously you have those, and I mean, that's the majority of what's for sale on the shelves. So, I mean, you know, it was a lot less than I thought it would be. So that was actually really cool to see that like the people kind of getting involved with this, they really go out of their way to find something really interesting that they like. So it was cool.
Yeah, variety is the spice of shoes, is what we always say on this show for the first time ever. You judge the hell out of this thing, I got to tell you. What was your judging criteria going in, or did you have it figured out before we sat down for 7 hours until like 3 a.m. to judge this thing? No. It was a great time.
It was. It was a good quarter bottle of whatever I was drinking, but so I was getting more and more lenient. No, it was, I mean, I really didn't have any idea, right? Because I felt like I didn't know what to expect, like with what was going to be the final results. I wasn't really sure what we were going to see, if they're going to be like really like weathered, beat up products, or like, I just didn't know what to expect. So kind of just went into it with an open mind and wanted to see a handful and kind of get a feel for it. Aside from the obvious, just like, I think the only way to do it is to use your personal bias of what you think looks good. You know, I think it's, you don't want to say that out loud, but that's the reality.
You just did.
Yeah. You have to use your personal bias a little bit because it's like, well, that boot looks awesome, you know? And so that would just be my opinion. And so you kind of have to use that a little bit. And so if there was anything that like going into it to try to like not let my bias completely take over, as far as like what I would want, if it was my pair or something, was just trying to find something that the entire boot kind of or shoe from the upper to outsole kind of looked like it was worn as one, right? Like it wasn't like the upper was just beat to hell and the outsole like wasn't that much, or it had a ton of toe spring, but meanwhile the upper looked brand new. Kind of like, okay, this looks like it's been worn for about that period of time, and it's just kind of well worn. It's not destroyed. It looks like maybe they conditioned it a time or two or something. Like it's just kind of right in that sweet spot, right? I mean, there was a good percentage of them there that it had very little wear, or they really took care of them, which that's great too. But you can also tell just kind of look at the outsole and stuff. So I think that was kind of the main thing, was trying to give a little bit of a nod to the people who actually kind of wore them for the majority of that period. At the same time, didn't beat them up, and they could still wear whatever that boot or shoe is for, you know, many more years. So
total package, not a bad thing to be looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
Did anything surprise you in a really positive way? Something that you came out of it saying, man, didn't expect that.
But how many people entered? That's what surprised me. How many people entered? And then also, like, there's a lot of people who entered and then went through the entire thing and then wrote like a really nice essay. On the product side of things, I'm not an engineer person, as in I don't wear them myself. I just found myself, like, every time I was looking at those, like the shafts of the engineer boot, it's such a big piece of leather. It's like a bag itself. It's pretty amazing. You know, you kind of looked at it and you're just like, yeah, that's something that's like kind of on the top of a shelf at WRL. All of those kind of fit that category. And so, I don't know, all those kind of look good. Shell pair and stuff. Those are pretty cool.
Showing the whole thing off. Man, just the way they look. They draw you in, and it's amazing how much of the boot is covered by pants. Presumably, we don't know. That and the toe, and generally just absolutely beautiful. It's that giant piece of leather that doesn't even see daylight, and you look at it 6 or 7 months later and you're like, whoa, gimme.
Absolutely. It's one of those things too. Like, if you really like leather for whatever reason, you gravitate to me. The engineer is kind of like a leather jacket, even though I really love it. I can't really wear it. Or if I do, I'm like, okay, you know, my wife will like kind of laugh or something, you know, and I'm like, okay, I'll take it off. You know, they're really, really cool articles, you know, even though you may not actually wear them every day, you kind of gravitate towards them. Like, if you go to a store or something like that, you pick it up and you're like, this 5-pound leather jacket is legit. Engineers, same deal.
Wyatt likes engineers. Here's the big one. What do you think the key is to winning the open side, the non-work side of the second Thunderdome?
Wearing the boot kind of the majority of the time, and I'll just keep saying boot, seeing that wear, but then at the same time, you know, not like beating the hell out of it. I kind of like that with where the boot looks worn, but it still looks like it's taken care of. And then the main thing to me is like, especially the people who are putting like a conditioner or something on it within like the last few weeks and hitting it with a brush or whatever they were using, you can really tell. Like, it just makes the leather rich. It just looks like a more rich, has more depth than if, you know, for example, if you just wear something for 8 months and don't put anything on it, depending on the leather, it could look a little dry. It's not going to be, I mean, if you do that 9 months in, you throw some conditioner on it, it's just going to become, you know, a deeper version of itself with a little bit more of a sheen and all that stuff. So it's just kind of right in that sweet spot.
Bingo. Anything contestants should avoid.
You know, I hate to even throw it out there because I don't know, like, I forget who it was who had like very light colored rough outs. It was probably rough and out of suede. Like, it was like a beige color, almost white. And he did something with them and like color them essentially. One was like blue, one was pink.
The white ones, the white clinch boots that worn by an artist.
I don't even want to say like, don't do that stuff because it's cool to look at. And I mean, yeah, don't destroy the boots or whatever. I guess that'd be an easy one, but the outlying stuff, that's cool to see as well. So
don't avoid anything. I love it. Right. Any final words of wisdom?
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows what they're doing, right? I mean, a lot of it too. It's all kind of personal preference and stuff. But even though we're not wearing like Oxfords, like, shoe trees are always good. I think sometimes too, like, just putting them in there a little bit, especially if you're wearing the boots a lot, like consecutively, you know, 3-4 days a week, 5 days a week. I'm sure some of these people are wearing them every single day. It's like, yeah, shoe trees won't hurt. Helps reduce like the deep creasing on the vamps, depending on if it's like a pretty wicked Chrome XL or something, like, you know, it just kind of helps avoid some of that stuff and keeps it looking a little fresher. And just, I think that would be maybe the only thing that some people don't do, because it's just like, yeah, they're fine. I don't mess with shoe trees, and I get it, but it always seems to help. Yeah, that's for sure.
Trim.
Yeah.
You ever use boot trees, like the gigantic ones? Side question.
Well, my mom used to like had like dressage boots, like the ones that you couldn't get off of the jack and stuff, you know? And so those, yeah, you'd have to, those are pretty legit. That's a real tree there.
Might get them. Wyatt Gilmore, thanks for judging. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, it was fun. Of course, thank you.
All right, we'll see you on the other side. And now let's take a break for a quick word from our terrestrial radio sponsor. We'll be back. But listen to this first. It's very good and important, too. Division Road's new bucolic Virginia boot compound is almost ready for you to arrive. Their launch shindig is on August 25th. I'm personally heading down for their White's Boots weekend, September 30th to October 2nd. You should absolutely consider going to one of those or another upcoming Division Road event, or just stopping by. But just know that whenever you get there, there will be boots. Oh yes, there will be boots. Jason let me get a sneak peek at DR's upcoming fall-winter lineup and told me not to tell anyone. So now I'm going to tell you, but you can't tell Jason. Okay? Got it. Great. Let's do it. First off, a lot of White's boots. If you missed out on some of DR's past hits, they'll be restocking or rethinking a few. Very good start. But there's just so much good new stuff coming, including two different 300 lace-to-toe Oxfords. Jason knows my personal weaknesses quite well. As well as three new models with exclusive CF Stead leathers, including a very, very good elk, and some articles that are frankly brand new to me. Love it. And while we're keeping most of this under wraps, I just need to lay out this banger for you in full. Let's go. Unstructured toe box, 350 cutter lace-to-toe boot with a lineman's patch, unlined olive wax flesh, 55 last, full gusset natural CXL tongue, all brass eyelets, natural midsole, Vibram 430 mini lug full sole, logger heel, and single row hand welt stitch down. So yeah, some really good whites. Division Road will also continue to roll hard with their wonderfully creative Crockett and Jones makeups. Expect epic swooptying from the Ross and Grizzydale? One of those has to be correct. Along with yet another excellent reworking of C&J's deeply iconic Coniston boot. Then around the new year, you'll see the first burst of makeups from DR and a little-known shoemaker on the Eastern Seaboard that you've definitely never heard of. And if you guess, you'll certainly be wrong. But they're really good, too. Holden. Division Road's lineup has always been just so perfect for fall and winter, and they're ready to take care of you again this year. So do what you gotta do. Get down to Virginia to check them out in person. Recommended. Or just subscribe to their newsletter or hit up divisionroadinc.com. And now, back to the Terrestrial Radio Drive Time Call-In Show. All right, next caller, who do we got? It's Jesse from Minnesota, which I believe I pronounced correctly, as we do always on this podcast, or on this radio call-in show. Jesse, great to have you. How's everything?
Everything is really well. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
No, thank you for owning a phone. Got lucky again, I guess. Yet another former and I do believe future Patina Thunderdome judge, which is perfect because we're asking how people can hopefully win the upcoming second Stitch Down Patina Thunderdome. This is perfect. Thanks for aiding the lucky roll of the dice here. Now, this is worth mentioning now that we have you. We're lucky to have you here right now. The night of the Thunderdome judging was indeed a dark and stormy night by you. We had to hold up the judging, which took about 92 hours after this, deep, deep into the night, because you were sitting on a porch in an old rocking chair from the Great Depression, I believe, weathering a tornado in your region.
It was truly the most epic evening for Thunderdome judging. Been in this house for 3 years now. Obviously weathered plenty of storms, but on that particular night, there was many tornado warnings, not just watches, tornado warnings.
The real deal.
Going on. It's the real deal. So we felt like we needed to take it a little bit more serious. So I had to wake up all the kids, bring them into the basement, delay all the judging. So appreciate the added support and delays there. So yeah, I was out tornado spotting on the porch, making sure that nothing was coming our way, trying to give some live updates to the other Thunderdome judges.
It's the best way to spot a tornado is not in the basement where you're supposed to be.
No, it's being outside in action.
Can't see anything from the basement.
No, you really can't. You got to be in the action. It's critical.
Happy to have you just still here, Jesse.
It feels good.
Very meaningful, especially because now we get to talk about what people should do. What did you learn from judging the inaugural Thunderdome? What did you take from it? What did you hold with you?
Yeah, so I'd say the first thing is that there were just an absurd amount of really good leathers that aged incredibly well. Being a leather worker, that was one of the things I was most excited about. And I think I called that out specifically in some of the initial, like what we're looking for. The thing I was most excited about was seeing all these leathers that I work with on a daily basis that you don't necessarily always get feedback from customers, or you don't necessarily see people who are wearing this footwear with these leathers really hard. I mean, some of these people have 20, 30, 40 pairs of footwear. So you don't typically get to see how they're aging so well. So, I mean, I would say the first thing that stuck out to me was there were at least 10 pairs that I saw the entries right away. And I mean, I've worked with quite a few leathers from tanneries from all over the world, but there were at least 10 different pairs that I saw how they looked right away. And I was like, I need to get a pair of those. Like, those look really good when they're worn in, which you typically wouldn't see. So, I mean, there were some Red Wings, there were Vibergs, there were some dress shoes, like just brands that I typically wouldn't even think of. So, I mean, I think coming into the contest, that was one thing that I was so excited to see. So I think being able to see how some of these things age over time was awesome. Second, I would say how incredibly hard people were able to wear some of this footwear. And I thought there was going to be some pretty good patina, but there were some just ridiculous pairs that went from both ranges of being like just well-earned patina that were well cared for to completely and utterly thrashed, where the sole is falling off and threads are coming loose. And it was amazing. It was amazing.
It was amazing, wasn't it? It really was. It really was.
Yeah, I would say the final piece in terms of what I learned is that I think Neil specifically called out how important photography would be to him. And so I think we all kind of thought that, like, yep, it'll be important to have pretty good photography. But I think after going through some of the initial photos, really how critical that was to be able to kind of highlight and showcase how some of these leathers and how the different entries just evolved over time. So, I mean, there was some pairs that you could specifically see, like, yep, you got your photos at the beginning. You can kind of see what the leather looks like. You go through each individual month and you can see the evolution over time where the photos are clear, consistent. And then there were some others where it was a little bit more challenging where the lighting was inconsistent. And so I think that was one thing I think that stuck out that really drove a lot of conversation after the fact and throughout kind of within the Discord too, of what does it mean to have good photography, which I think we can talk a little bit more about later too.
Oh, suspense.
I know.
So these are some things that, you know, you learned and you felt, especially once we sat down and you were still alive. Did you have judging criteria going in, and will that be any different this time around?
The main thing that I was looking for going into this first round was a balance of wear and care. So, I mean, it's keeping it pretty simple. You want to be able to showcase that you're wearing your footwear pretty frequently. You're seeing great evolution of the leather, some of the patina on the leather, and then pretty obvious that you're actually trying to take care of them too. You're not just going for complete and utter thrashing of your footwear. And so I think that was kind of the criteria that I had going into it and something that I tried to keep consistent to in my judging. And I think that's going to be a really consistent thing going into the future rounds too, is really just that balance of wear and care.
Wear and care. I wrote that down.
Keep it simple.
I did.
Good.
Any surprises first time around that might be a little telling on how to perform well second time around?
I would say that the first thing that isn't necessarily tied to how you can do well in the second time around, but the amount of people that stuck with it for the full 7 months was astounding. I mean, I think what was the final total? Close to 300 pairs.
Yep. Almost 70% retention.
Which is absurd. With some of these competitions, you typically see a huge surge in initial entries and then it fizzles out over time as people stuff goes on in life or things like that. But it was pretty consistent through kind of the entire competition, which was awesome to see.
I love that the finish rate at the same time, because I am, in addition to being a radio call-in show host, also somewhat involved with this competition. In the Patina Project app, where you can see every pair that was entered, you know, no matter how far they made it, there are some when I'm looking up a leather or, you know, a maker or a pattern or something, just to see, just to do research, think about makeups, you know, just understand a leather better. You know, they made it 1 or 2 months and you're like, but no, but why? Like, come on, push. These are perfect.
This is going to be an awesome resource going forward, not just for footwear, but for anything else that uses leather. It almost sets the benchmark for kind of what some of these leathers can do and what they're capable of when they're put to significant use, which is, I think, is an incredibly valuable resource for a ton of different people. Other things that surprised me going into this competition too, where I think were the variety of leathers, the variety of brands, styles of footwear. I think certain brands were certainly more represented than others, but if you look at kind of the broad spectrum of all there was a vast number of brands. You didn't just have Viberg service boots for every single entry. There were brands that not a ton of people had heard of. There were people that were making their own boots, which is, I think, pretty incredible when you think of the time commitment that people put into that.
I loved it. Show us everything, right?
Yeah.
And everything's got a shot. Those Birkenstocks, the Birkenstock Arizonas.
Amazing.
They weren't worn all that hard, but even they got a shot.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to wear Birkenstock Bostons in this.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to.
I don't know if it's been officially revealed by the time this episode comes out, but I've kind of been talked into having sneakers be okay too. It's wide open. There's a guy with they're Jordans, but they're like the natural, I don't, some sort of natural veg tan leather. And he's like, "What about these? I have these. I can't afford another pair of boots. These things are in a box." I was like, "Yeah, do it." And also, Ted Mater, creator of the Patina Project, wants to wear New Balance.
That would certainly be an option.
I think you started running or something. Well, look, let's sum it up. What do you think the key is to winning the open side, not the work side, of the second Thunderdome?
Honestly, if I have to sum it up in one thing, is you have to be passionate about the footwear that you select. You can absolutely enter the contest trying to chase something that you think is going to just patina the most. But at the end of the day, you're going to have to wear these pretty consistently across the time frame of the contest. And so you don't want to run the risk of picking something that you're not excited to put on and wear every single day. That's not something that is more versatile. And so being passionate about what you select, I think, is probably the most key and critical piece going into round two, outside of all the other elements that are certainly important, but got to have passion for it.
And maybe try and make sure they fit. That was actually a lot of the dropout month two or month three, being like, I just can't do it.
That would be an interesting follow-up survey for the people that dropped out of what was the reason that you dropped out, whether it was, yeah, fit, versatility, life events that happened.
So we know what to do. Anything to not do. What should contestants possibly avoid if they want a place in this thing?
You don't necessarily want to shift the contest to be purely about maximizing the patina. It is important to select footwear that you get excited about wearing. However, I would say that round one absolutely had a pretty good indication of what leathers might be more challenging to see results from. Not that you necessarily want to dissuade anyone from picking a particular boot or a particular leather, but there are absolutely certain leathers that are more challenging to see that evolution of patina over time. There were some work boot entries that had black oil tan leather that were worn for hundreds and hundreds of hours. And the leather is just, it's so resilient that it hardly looked worn over that time frame. And so obviously you need to pick something that you're going to wear pretty consistently. And I think it's some of those pieces that it made sense to select a boot like that due to trade or profession, but it certainly makes it a little bit more challenging to see that patina over time.
So true. Doesn't have to be a stunt leather, but bulletproof can be a little tough.
It's real tough.
Jesse, thank you for judging this thing, being alive, and most importantly, calling into the show just randomly.
It was a kind of a spur of the moment thing. Heard it on the radio and decided to give a quick call in.
It's your lucky day. We're lucky to have you. All right. Have fun on that rocker. See you around.
Thank you so much. Look forward to talking to you in the future.
Final caller. Final caller. We need to cut this off at some point so people can go buy some boots to Dome. All right, who do we got? Looks like we've got Dave, a.k.a. at Rugged Workwear on Instagram, and another judge of the Stitchdown Patina Work Thunderdome. Unreal. What are the chances? Seriously.
Hello, long-time listener, first-time caller. Nice to be on.
Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling, Dave. You got to get a taste of the real action here. Dave, I'd love if you could tell us a bit about yourself. You're already chosen as a judge, so it's too late to cancel that. But what about your life makes you so attuned to what a good, honest, work boots doing work patina looks like to be able to judge this Thunderdome? What do you got in the tank, Dave?
So I've been wearing boots forever. I'm 48. Started wearing boots with my dad doing construction work, actually when I was in college, to help pay for my way through college. And I've had all kinds of interesting jobs doing physical stuff. I've worked in stores. I've worked in gas stations. I've done construction work, like I mentioned. I currently live on a little plot of land where I do all kinds of stuff on my land. It includes cleanup of all kinds of branches and debris and landscape type work. Just general stuff like that. I do woodworking in my boots. I do all kinds of stuff. I also now, I'm in the process of designing lots of things. I'm designing heritage style and workwear stuff, and including boots. I really enjoy the rugged style of boots. So think of things like the Pacific Northwest style of boots, because they're kind of born in the work genre. That's what gets me jazzed up about the boots.
All right, you sound legit. Seems like whoever's running this contest has made an excellent choice. Great work. Not me, maybe. I'm not sure who I am at this point in this episode of this terrestrial radio call-in show. Dave, how much did you pay attention to the original Thunderdome?
I actually was on the borderline of joining that contest, but I was in the process. I mentioned I'm getting ready to release a boot, and I wanted to wear that boot in the first one, but it didn't get out in time. And so I was sort of like on the fence. And then when I didn't get in time with that boot, I kind of just watched it. I definitely paid attention, and I loved the ending. There's an app that you guys did that was really cool.
Patina Project.
Whoever did that is a genius. And then at the end, the way you guys did all the results and looking through all that, that was phenomenal. The end, wow, I was riveted. That was great.
Smart man. Shouts to Ted and Hillary on the app development. Just wait till you see it this year. Oh, it's going to be good.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's something else. I love it. What'd you learn from Thunderdome number one? What'd you take away from it?
Well, first of all, there was a good turnout. I mean, a great turnout. Such a wide range of patina. I mean, that's what you were going for, right? So it was kind of like, duh, we're going to get that. But at the end, to see it all together and see the wide range of boot makers and leathers, if you told me some of those results would look the way they did at the beginning of the contest, I wouldn't have believed you. But then the way they turned out, it was just fantastic. And I've never seen anything like it. It was great.
Again, whoever put this together, they're trying real hard. So I'm glad you appreciated it.
Whoever did it, whoever was involved, nailed it.
That person. So now we've got two categories to this Thunderdome, which is the only way that really makes sense. There's the open side, which is largely, not exclusively, what you saw and enjoyed last year. And then there's the very, very specific work side, which is you're doing work in these things and you are gonna thrash them. And we want to see what that looks like. And they're gonna be judged differently by people, including you. How do you feel like the work side might differ from the open side?
If you're doing physical work in your boots, they're going to get beat up more. And so you're going to see, you know, certain leathers like the Chrome XL or surface leathers, they're going to get scratched up a lot more, most likely, and faster. I divide wearing workwear clothing and boots into really two categories. There's more of like a casual side, and there's more of like a, you're doing physical work in it. So I really like that you guys divided it. And so what I envision, and in my experience, is you could wear on the casual side a boot the entire contest and not treat it. It's going to get beat up a little and it's going to look kind of cool. It's going to age. And it depends. Everybody's different what they do every day. But on the work side, it's going to be important to treat them more, to take care of them. Depending what kind of work they're doing, they're going to dry out faster. It's going to be important to actually take a little bit of care of them, or they are going to get like totally trashed. Up to and including, if someone's doing hard work, they could be ruined, right? If they're not taking care of their boots. And that's the big difference to me.
Hey, I think that's huge. And as we've heard from Carl, your fellow judge, and a couple others, the work side does not mean destroy your boots either, right? The boots still need to live after 6 months.
Yeah, any boot. It doesn't matter how thick the leather is or how well made it is. If you just beat them up and don't take care of them over time, eventually they're going to fail. Like anything, you got to take care of your stuff. I think it's important too. There's a wide range of work. You know, some people can be doing work and it might be a little lighter, getting your boots scuffed up a little. And then there's going to be people maybe doing like concrete work, construction work. And that to me is like, man, that's tough on your boots, or lumberjacking, or where it's really physical and it is tearing them up.
Judging criteria. Where are your thoughts at on that? They can't be destroyed. We've kind of established that. What else are you going to be looking for? What's a winner here?
I just think it's going to be very important to have for the boots, to at least be somewhat taken care of. So I'm looking for, like, you can even take them up to the point of failure where they don't fail. But if they look like, wow, they're not going to last another month. So it's like, they got to look like they've been worn hard, but taken care of. And then I'm looking for just that unique story about, that's interesting right there, how those aged. That I would have never guessed they would look like that. But based on what that person was doing, I see it and I can tell. And it tells a story, right? I mean, that's what we really like about this, isn't it? We really like where there's a story and you can tell about how it's aged and it's got that uniqueness to it. So that's part of what I'm looking at too, at least for me. And then, of course, it could be a very beautifully aged boot, right? The more beautiful it is while it has been worn hard, that's pretty cool too. So I'm looking at that whole range of things right there.
All about the story. This whole thing, the stories that came out of it last time, unbelievable. I mean, two people got married in their Thunderdome boots.
That's great. That is memorable.
And let me tell you, they look good. It's a great outlook. What grabs you, right? You and everybody who's participating or just following along, but certainly all the judges will have the opportunity to see these things coming in every single month. You can see these stories evolving throughout the contest, and it's pretty crazy. You're wondering what they're doing, and then at the end, we're going to ask everybody, and you kind of find out a little bit. And it matches up with what you might have imagined, but it also can be this big reveal where you're like, wow, okay, now I understand that pair. I think a lot of people are going to be really happy with the prizes that they might win, but it's all about that journey. It's pretty fun.
Absolutely.
You'll never forget these pairs, you know? These ones stick with people, and I love that.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's kind of similar on some other contests I judge where it's jackets or raw denim jeans or, you know, leather patina. Now, this case, boots. Like, it's pretty rare people come out the other side and they're like, yeah, I wish I wouldn't have picked that one. I don't like how it turned out. Almost always people are like, yeah, this is great. I'm going to keep this forever. I love it. But in my experiences, you go along the way. By the time at the end, you're like, man, this thing just, it's even at a different level now. I just love this, right? So yeah, I think that story along the way and then the aging and then at the end, it's like, yep, this is in my stable forever. This is my thing now. It's got my life imprinted on it.
Love it. And a little flex there. Dave, the professional judge. That's who we're recruiting these days.
This will be my first boots, but some leather stuff and some denim stuff. But boots, man, I mean, out of all the stuff, probably boots are my favorite, right? So I love work shirts. I love work pants. I love denim. They're all great. They build character canvas stuff, you know, like work fabrics and things. But boots probably takes the cake for me. So this one's pretty exciting.
Somebody made the right choice.
I'm loving it.
Look, Dave, thanks so much for completely randomly calling in. Couldn't appreciate it more. See you out there in the field, man.
I will be there with bells on. Looking forward to it.
Ring, ring. All right, that's it. Another episode of Shoe Radio in the bag. Huge thanks to our sponsor this week, Division Road, who said, hey, look, we don't normally advertise on terrestrial drive time radio, but it feels like time to make an exception. And also, let's sponsor this Thunderdome. Bless your hearts, Division Road, and tune into Shoe Radio when you're driving out to Scottsville, Virginia to pay them a visit. And if you spent all this time to listen to our beautifully produced show that made a ton of sense, don't forget to pre-register for the Stitchdown Patina Thunderdome on stitchdown.com. Open side, work side, have at it. Huge thanks to all the sponsors of the Thunderdome that made this episode and of this show that is always about boots, I guess. Who knows? This has been a long time pretending to do a different podcast than normal. Let's just say that's it for this week. Take care of your boots, as all the judges have said throughout this Thunderdome. We'll see you on April 1st. Love all ya.